No panic. So Margaret O'Regan, I'm trying to find hero. There you are. Donna Leavenish.
You want me to go now? Yeah.
Yep, brilliant.
Oh yeah, perfect. I've only three haikus. It'll be very brief. I love Zoom. I think it is the greatest invention ever. And I would never have thought I'd be that tech savvy, but it's so easy to use. So this is about Zoom. Day in and day out, cyberspace meetings throughout. Spaced poems. Oh, that's wrong. Spread poems about. Now, another one about COVID. The projections are lethally roaming about, the sting in the tail. And then there's post-COVID because I think there's going to be a huge onslaught on the working class when this is over. I think they're going to try and make the working class pay for all of it, and I think we should resist it. This is not a game. Bankers, we won't be the same. Watch as we'll reclaim. That's it.
Míle buíochas, Margaret. Thank you very much. Lovely start to the open mic, Míle maith agat. The next name I have here is Jim. Is that right, Jim Crickard? Where are you, handsome being? There you are. Okay.
I'm
Yeah.
here. So while the lockdown's been going on, like I've actually worked from home for the last 5 years. So I'm still working from home doing it. I take customer service calls. And I wrote this poem here. People who've worked in customer service will know it's not easy. Like you've got all kinds of people coming through with all kinds of problems, technical and emotional sometimes. And I wrote this poem. It's called Customer Service Shogun. And Shogun is like a Japanese warrior, the guys with like the metal samurai kind of types. So I strategize my way through the call, like Sun Tzu in the Art of War, evading the outraged enemy with the stealth of politeness, feigning weakness to entice my foe to strike complaints like gunfire. When they have destroyed my decoy, they feel the arrogance of false win. I have them right where I want them. The gorilla has entered my temper trap, roaring, beating their chest about how we charged an extra 40 cent this quarter. Undetectable as night, I pounce above a barrage of Donkey Kong barrels and rise higher than the heavens to throw the onus like an atomic bomb down on the customer, obliterating them with our terms and conditions. Supreme victory is subduing the enemy without fighting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jim. Míle buíochas. And moving on, I think next up is Brendan Mulcahy, if I'm correct. You're muted there, Brendan. I'm not sure if you can fix that or Paul.
Hang on.
Thanks.
That's nice, yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Well, we can hear you.
Okay, smashing. I mentioned earlier, Catherine and I live in London, and the day after the Cheltenham Festival, which has its resonance, I'm sure, for a lot of people for different reasons, we went to see some lifelong friends up in Oxfordshire, and it was an easy thing to do, and yet somehow you felt you were on the cusp. And a week later, we couldn't have done that. So the poem is called What Will Survive? All week, they'd raced at Cheltenham, defying the odds, hands shaken and sanitized, crowds sardined, winning connections bear hugged like there was no tomorrow, until album photo won a historic repeat gold cup. No snaps record, we met for lunch next day in Oxfordshire. By Monday, with Magnolia everywhere out, the fear was in. For once, we'd sailed through East Sheen, held up at Kew. The motorways were easy then, kites hovering, before the B4009 through Watlington. What ask? A man, a boy, a dog, when we guess wrong at an unmarked junction, and we turn right effortlessly on time into the checkers at Berwick Salome. Break spear, with its funky missing ease, implying timelessness and ale from a well-kept cellar. The tennis club lot were in for a swift half, red-faced and braying, owning the bar. But we were up for it, teasing stories from the Guardian and the Eye. Times were changing ineluctably. Then you were there, somehow without sat-nav help. We elbow-bumped good-humouredly for hugs, and Maggie dear, ensconced by the fire, you murdered a large merlot in a trice. We rued the loss of the Six Nations, but Gareth Bach, you'd most miss London Welsh at Old Deer Park. Postponed, cancelled, fixtures were falling away. We would have weighed the impact of the virus. The panic early beat the rush brigade, were stripping shelves in Epsom as stunned oldsters gaped. But it was a joyful meeting, as though we knew something very good was ending. Leaving, groups were gathered in the garden, an unhurried kite circled overhead. Thank you.
Where are you going?
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Brendan. I'm wishing you all good health in London. I won't get started on Boris. Okay, moving swiftly on. The next person on the list is Philip. Philip's Blaney in the house. Oh.
Hello, how's everyone? It's hey. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Hands up. Yeah, fantastic. Wonderful seeing everyone, and some wonderful poetry, mix of languages. It's a delight and a great hearing other voices in my head besides my own. I've been going on a lot of long walks in the countryside where I am, and getting back in touch with the insects and the rabbits and I saw a fox, if you didn't hear that earlier. And they've been taking loads of pictures. And one of the pictures I got was two butterflies, and the two butterflies are, well, they're in love. And I can put the picture here if anyone wants to see it. It's a link, if that's okay. Yeah. It's just a link to it. Yeah, it's a link to it. You could just open up in a page to Facebook, and you can see the picture, and it's a poem based on it. It's very, very short, and I hope you like it. After. Orange-tipped butterflies make love back to back, because they don't need to see the face, stay in one place, or put names to the face, or places. No need for names or places. So what is love if you're made of paper and feathers? Fleeting, fragile, pleasurable, and pleasant. Thanks very much for listening, and take care, everyone.
Romina Margaret, you might have a nice collection of pictures, so a little exhibition after this. Romina Margaret. Next up is Ada. Ada Miles, welcome. Okay, so we can't hear you, Ada. We can't hear anything. No. We can see you, but I can't hear anything.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Ada. It must be something in the settings on your computer, maybe.
It is. Does she have her earphones?
It's actually muffled. I can hear her, but it's muffled.
No, I can't hear her at all.
Are you speaking through the phone? No. Sorry, I'm not getting anything at all.
Maybe you can try a little bit later.
Yeah, there's plenty more people on the list, so I'll come back to you in a few people's time. Thanks, Ada. Next up, and my God, hello, a big welcome. Where are you gone? Emily Davis Fletcher, hello. Lovely to see your face. We can't hear you now either. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Ah, okay. Hi. Oh, my gosh, this is like a lot like old times, more like old times than, yeah, this is great. Oh, it's so good to see all of you.
Are you in the States at the moment?
Yes, unfortunately. I'm in a state that's opened up.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all open for business and I'm staying in like all the sane people.
Okay, good woman.
So, yeah. I will read something that I wrote in January, kind of before all this and going back to something like a memory from seventh grade, thinking about my seventh grade crush back then in January when you could do that. It was easier just to have pleasant thoughts. Okay, so this is called, this is Sex in Ancient Seventh Grade. Lights out and my knee kisses your knee. Not so accidentally whenever we sit, cross-legged on the floor. But now you and the other boys sprawl out like scissors on a rug in math. I'm stuck in history, boxed in by the soft points of girls. In separate worlds, you and I look up at identical screens that turn pale with a wonder, not unlike the inner maze of a pyramid, if made of marshmallow and underwater. Up or down, our eyes follow a microscopic lens wearing a miner's hat, as minutes stretch like miles. I forget what I should watch and glare with Nefertiti at the shaky outline of your paper sarcophagus, shoulders dimpled because you wouldn't lie still. As I traced, you jerk to grab each fleeting diamond ankle within reach. A white burst of fireworks, laughter breaks through the wall. In my head, you yell, there she blows. Sperm says a man's voice, but we cannot see the penis. Tiny horse spirits race until stalled by static. The school nurse smacks the TV to behave. Once you lay too close to an anthill, and my gaze let its black parade up your leg. More minutes and miles to come to a burned out sun. The egg, I already know the first to the center wins. But why do they bite and bite and bite for the egg to eat them whole? Why did you close your eyes when I stepped over your head? Lights on and my eyes sting from the TV's vision. Too limited, too late. Like an owl pellet, I've been forced to study, tweeze fur and bones from, reconstruct the mouse. I know older ways to catch a live one. I know truer ways to touch you. Even now, you wear a khaki explorer's hat. Feel along my grainy walls that glow from your torch. The brontosaurus scar on your thumb eclipses gods in profile who prefer to be seen looking away as your flame trembles to my deepest chamber and is snuffed out by a greater brilliance. Blinded, you keep searching. Glide your fingertips down the gold current of my nose, my neck, and read that I am not this body. In radiance, you stumble. In radiance, you stumble. Shatter the head of a jackal that seals a jar. Reaching in, you cut your hand on my heart. Later at my desk, I sit in front of you and double-cross my legs. Who did it? Our teacher demands, holding a drawing that was folded six times and passed behind her back. Its sky is creased, not clear like textbook smooth pages. The Egyptians is your smart answer. I want to say something true. Someone's uncle must have come home crying about plastic bags, circling the Sphinx like vultures, the way my uncle came home crying about AIDS. But I don't. The map's long crack of Nile reminds me that the pad between my legs could overflow. So I raise my hand, ask a question. How can I show you my skin still tingles from your ant bites? In the bathroom, I wrap a drop of blood in toilet paper to leave on your empty chair. Okay, that's it.
Not kidding, Emily. It's lovely to see your face and to hear your words. So lovely, absolutely lovely.
Oh, thank you for doing this. Thank you.
Next up on the list is Augustina. Are you happy to read? We just get you unmuted. Brilliant.
Hi.
Hi.
I hope you're all well and in good health, I guess. I was actually discussing with a friend about relationships a couple of weeks back, and she mentioned how she keeps on getting into almost relationships, and then every time it gets to the point of committing to the person, something happens that makes her completely abandon the idea of committing. So I wrote this kind of in her mind, should I say. So here we are. I am not your yo-yo that you can just pull whatever you want and I'll come to your hand. That's what you fail to understand about me. I'm not a frisbee that you can throw into the unknown knowing that it will come back only to throw once again into the unknown waiting for it to come back again. You're not my God and I'm not your servant. That's not my burden. I'm like a kite without strings, like a bird with mighty wings. I'll mostly go wherever the wind blows, even across seas, if you release me. I'll float beautifully and peacefully in the breeze and probably land in a meadow filled with more beauty until another gust of wind takes me elsewhere. I'll carry pollen and drop it in almost empty places, spaces with no faces or traces of cases and cages, that's all. And every so often, I'll land in a new place where I can be picked, repaired, admired, played with, only to be fleeced again, feasted on again, last but not least, released again. That's all.
Beautiful, Margaret Augustina. Did you read that poem for your friend?
Sorry?
Read that poem for your friend.
Yes, I kind of relate with what she was saying as well. Maybe not as extreme, but I definitely know the fear of intimacy and committing when you're not so sure about the, you know, events. Like even now, this current situation, being in isolation and not knowing what's next. How do you make firm decisions that you can 100% be sure on when you don't actually know what's coming, you know? So, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Augustina. We might jump back to Ada and see if we can get your mic working, Ada. Will we give it a go again? Is that okay?
It's better.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, that's great. But my default mic in the laptop is just crappy. And if it's muffled, just tell me to pick up a bit, because if I speak too low, it can sort of mute what out. I will give you some choice here, actually, whether you want to hear about, I'm just doing that because I want to hear myself, whether I'm loud enough, whether you want to hear about glum bumps and the isolation. There is also another one, very short, about trust, and another poem about a friend. So you can now choose which one. Because I cannot make decisions today.
Okay, so if you're up for number one, put one finger up. How many votes do we have? I'll go with that as well. That was two. Okay, poem number two. Well, that's really short, so you can do that one anyway.
Okay, so, the really short one about trust, right?
Okay, so go for it. Thanks.
Right. So I'm reading the one about trust because actually I'm confused about the numbers myself now. So I'll just read it and then we'll see. I see the tree, the merry chatter, and spatter, 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 leak, fuck fountain pens, you cannot trust them an inch. That's about trust. Because, I mean, I use fountain pens really often and they are thin traits. You cannot trust them. I can do one more poem if you're okay with that, or I can...
Yeah, go for it, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll do the one about bumps, because it's not so much about bumps as it's about butterflies. And I think it sort of connects to Phil's poem before. But it doesn't have a radical context. It has instead the context of isolation. Bloody knocked, bloody down, demolition. Isolation, bloody locked, bloody down. A butterfly beats its drum, coronation, and it wiggles the bump. But the dudes will abide, no one breaches. Even beaches will fight you inside. A butterfly beats its drum, coronation, and it wiggles the bump. Well, it's about chaos theory, when one butterfly wiggles the bum and everything is destroyed. And I think it's almost what happened to the virus. Somebody prefers to call it a swan, but I think the butterfly is better because it's smaller and you can get really angry at it for that reason.
Okay, thank you very much, Ada. We have a nice butterfly.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. And I had a lot of Irish today and it's a real pleasure.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's the lovely thing about virtual veil actually spreading.
Yeah, through. And the real veil, I'm sure.
Very much. Thank you, Ada. On the list, I have Michelle, our five-word challenge champion of the evening. Michelle?
Hi, guys. You can hear me okay?
Yep.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Great. Thanks for the readings. They're gorgeous. I'm going to read two short poems, if that's okay. They're quite short. The first is about a nightmare. I've been having a lot of nightmares, but I'm finding that writing about them is a nice way to take control of it a little bit. And the second is about my little niece who I'm missing growing up. She'll be one this week, so kind of a happy birthday poem for her. But first, the nightmare. A steel truss belonged to an imaginary space, found its way to my tongue in a dream, lodged itself through the centre of it, took with it lumps of flesh, taste and speech. A steel truss belonged to an imaginary space, slipped through a glitch of design and mathematics, found its way to my tongue in a dream, found its way to my voice in the day. And second is a poem for Sophia. The first day she met a tree, she didn't blink and didn't know that neither did her open hands. All day long, a smiling rhino she dribbled on made her pat her head in search of horns. Any day now will be the day she wakes up to, the day she first speaks. And no one will know it at breakfast, not even she. Thanks, everyone.
Jermaine Morgan. We'll move on to the next person on the open mic, and that is Simon. I think Sean is really feeling that poem there by the look in your face. Oh, okay. Simon?
Hey. So I just have one short poem. It's called Rising Tide. I am the cleansing of the soul, a sold-out show for every grain of sand. I encroach, consume, and surf my audience, leaving seashells and seaweed behind, desperately clinging to the sand, but yearning to be pulled back in. The moon is my goddess. She draws me to her and then back away. She makes me fierce. I swallow souls, and I can sweep swaths of cities away. I am your earliest and dearest memories. My children are beautiful and plenty and ill. Pollute me, destroy me, starve my children, and I will rise in revolt, and you will be forever forgotten and swept away. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon, for me so we're halfway through the open mic. And next up is Cedric.
Hey, everyone. I actually wrote this one on 4 years ago during OBL. It was during Halloween. And this one's called The Gargoyle's Quest. Do the stars stare? How do they stir our destiny? Heaven was upstairs. Why is it still too high for me? Angel, I heard you were cheap. Won't you give me blessing? I will bite your aureola until my tooth chip, listening to the psalm you sing. Angel, aren't the saints always humble? Why must I shine to see the sacred? How can they run where I stumble? For how much gold must my soul be traded? Angel, when you die, you won't fall. Only the devil will descend. From this trip to paradise, all I can do is try to abort the end. Angel, I trespassed to save your heart. Until they took me, Peter was useless. So he corrupted the report that should have pointed to your guardian, your witness. Angel, when I die, you won't fall. Only the devil will descend. A trip to paradise is all I wanted for my time to end. A trip to paradise is all I wanted for my mission to end. That's all.
Thank you very much, Cedric. Thank you very much, Carmila Margaret. Next up on the list is Cahill. Cahill Holden.
Hey there, guys. How are we? How are things? So since we have some Irish language stuff up, I thought I'd dust off to Gaeilge. I have a couple of words buried in a notebook somewhere. So it's brief. Geez, that echo is strong, huh? Plays on anyway. To crim a cri, a cra an crit, an carte gola uchter. Ach luch li le e molostin, si shin an duis, just look for. That's it, boys. Ready?
Mila bwaith a cahal. Am al tu sa dangan an ish nu a gurkig?
Gurkig, how le St. Luke's.
Okay, how about it? Okay, Gurmila maga cahal. Rosie. Will tu reig a cara?
Oh, mate, Craig. So I'm just going to read the five-word challenge that I didn't manage to complete for the five-word challenge. But luckily, when people are reading in Irish and I don't understand, I was able to scribble here and then stop and listen to the translation. So lovely hearing everybody and seeing you all, especially you, Emily. Hey. Okay, so my five-word poem. Give me a penknife. I will carve your name into the floorboards, dance naked from room to room, fold my body softly and roll slowly over every curve of letter. I will etch your face into the doors, swing them open, scratch and hack, chisel and smoothen your frigging form into the kitchen table. There I will pause to eat everything and anything I want. I will take my time. After, I will score the shelves with words you have spoken, squeeze myself in, let them imprint, and like a bleak book, I will wait for your return. Thank you.
Carmila Margaret, Rosie. And Rosie, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Rab posted his poem up on the chat room, and he has requested that Rosie read it in a Scottish accent, so I'll just let you consider that there. And that would be great because it would save me reading it. Next up on the open mic is Mags. Are you there, Mags? Oh, you're there. One second, Mags. We'll just unmute you there. Sorry, we can't hear you. We should be able to hear you now, Mags.
I should have done my Bossa Nova Celtica this week, my little Bossa Nova, but I have a small little old-fashioned poem by my mother, and I think in the country places, the farmers and the little kids who come into my mother, they'd buy the candles for the communion and for the procession, but my mother would get the spring flowers from the hedges. They had to be particular flowers, and she did a beautiful little arrangement as a lot of the, I suppose, the shopkeeper's wives used to do long ago, and we'd have to go gathering the flowers. So it's a remembrance. Small between the Irish names, we'd be trying to learn them. Dora days, loose na na lassen chun queen, no need na mass na nantog, blahanish gahagila, the coconut of the May bloom, the animal and hot arnog, agus a new look gorum, the germander speedwell, kyornach biog, the forget me not, finkeen biog, the periwinkle, agus tilla huron on buttercup. So, she, here in Gorton o'clock, we call the field of stones. I'm trying to find my little poem in here now. Here in Gorton o'clock, we call the field of stones. Now there's a field of buttercups where the sun used to ripple through this corn, and by the roadside, bluebells, germander speedwell gems. Da would call them the cat's eyes, cerulean blue for him. And on the communion days, I'd pick for Greta in the early hours, wild pansies and sweet violets, Herb Robert communion flowers. She'd wrap them in a doily and a lace cuff for her spring posies. And forget-me-nots and daisies and maiden hair, fern and wild roses to decorate with wax candles with the hedgerow flowers. And today for you, he picks them, and that marks our special hour, because you still light up this room with your smile, and your grace and strength keeps me inspired. So that's enough about that. I have Irish songs, but I think we better put Stahl the Digger there. Agus Lena Raig.
Míle buíochas. No doubt we'll have a good old session some night and plenty of songs. Gurmíle mm-hmm. Next up on the open mic list is Catherine Ronan. Is Catherine here? Yep, brilliant, Catherine. Hiya. We just get you unmuted. Yeah, there you go.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep. Good. First of all, thanks for a fantastic evening. The Irish tonight was like a deep soul massage, is all I can say. Absolutely fantastic. My poem is called Bog Boy, and it was born out of one of the classes in UCC with Paul Casey. So credit to you, Paul. So Bog Boy. I am the waterfall, thunderous torque, spraying the faces of 1,000 non-believers, roaring with wisdom, but they cannot hear. I am the fields, purple with a hint of starvation, famine fields, ravenous ditches, brazen reminders of oppression. I am the bog, cloaking my precious oak, feasting on that boy in the tatty top. They never found him. Did they even look? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
Thank you.
Okay, so next up on the open mic list is Shauna, our current All-Ireland Slam champion.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Perfect.
It's lovely to see y'all. I was watching over on Facebook Live before this because I was eating spaghetti and I didn't want anyone to see me. So it's nice to see y'all now. This is a poem about people that I've been seeing lately on social media that have been driving me mad. So here we go. I once met a man who wore no shoes and lived in a tree in Wicklow. He said society was corrupt and he didn't want to be a part of such an establishment. When I asked how he survived money-wise, he said, I live off the land and I get social welfare-like, as he lifted his arm from his poncho and took a sup from his pint of Guinness. I watched a woman declare her love of animals over a steak dinner, her partner concurring, furthermore condemning countries where they eat cats and dogs, calling them sick fucks as he chomps down on a chunk of sirloin and wipes the blood from his chin. I've talked to herbalists who won't eat anything that's not local, gluten-free, organic, yet spend their weekends sniffing powder off the back of a toilet. I've read statuses spreading conspiracy theories of 5G electromagnetic waves, man, posted from a smartphone on a fourth-gen data plan. People protesting information mining and invasions of privacy using a platform where they provided theirs willingly. Won't believe the media, politicians, or doctors, but trust some fellow with a blog that lives in a bunker. Paranoid anti-vaxxers putting people's health at risk think they're exposing medicinal secrets when the only thing they're disclosing is their own mental illness. The moral of this story, the great uncovering, is some people are fools seeping with hypocrisy, and the real danger lies in those blind to the irony.
Fermina Mahagashana, thanks a million. Lovely to hear you and see you. So next up, is she in the house? Is the wonderful Mary O'Connell.
Please, Paul, am I audible? I am. Okay. This is just my reflection on what we're going through at the moment, and it's called Live Simply. When this constant spinning earth seems to stop dead in its tracks, allow yourself to sink down to the ground, then breathe to quiet your racing heart. Dealing with imposed withdrawal, no need to visit a vihara. Our own four walls can offer a retreat unless we're counted homeless. There was a time when homelessness was seen as an advantage, when wealthy dropouts spurned the excesses of their peers. Sannyasis in the past put on magenta robes, relied on rice and lentils to augment their frugal feast. Then, sinking to a cushion, they looked to still the mind. Being householders, most of us have not signed up for this. Yet their stark renunciation may offer us a way to find meaning in this bleakness by simply being aware.
Fermina Mahagut, Mary. Thanks very much. Next up, we have Rab on the open mic. Unfortunately, we can't hear his dulcet Scottish tone. Rosie, are you, will this all stay live?
I'll give it a go anyway, for the crack. Do my best Rabia accent. Okay, all right, here we go. The Blarney Stone. There is a stone that whoever kisses, oh, he never misses to grow eloquent. Tis he may ye clamber to a lady's chamber, or become a member of parliament. A clever spouter he'll sure turn out, or an out and outer to be let alone. Don't hope to hinder him or to bewilder him. Sure, he's a pilgrim from the Blarney Stone. Okay, I have no idea what I just read.
Well, fair play to you, Rosie. I hope Rab is happy with that. No doubt, Carmila Morgan, I'm delighted I didn't have to do it. You did a great job. Thanks very much. Next up is Sue Blue.
Right, thanks very much. I have a choice as well. Either I kind of come back to the animal theme we've had earlier, and that refers to also at the very beginning we were talking about a kingfisher, or I have one that kind of it's about the situation we're in as well. So what would you guys prefer?
So number one or two?
Yeah, number one would be the kingfisher.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Oh, lads, how many people are 1, 2, 3, 4?
26 altogether.
Okay, some people haven't voted at all. So, okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with number one. There's definitely okay. Number one. Okay.
All right, Philip, if you're still on, if you're still among us, this would be a good moment to post the kingfisher picture we were talking about earlier. And while he might be doing so, I shall be describing it shortly for those who mightn't be able to see it. So it was in our Blue Monday's writing group that we decided to write on images, and Phil put one forward of a kingfisher that had died and that had been bedded on a turkey tail. That's one of them tree funguses, right? And then leaves around it and flowers and stones and like a beautiful little grave. And it was very colourful. And Phil took that picture. And and I wrote on that. So I don't know if that's going to be part of the thing, if we can see it, but maybe with a link again or something that that you guys can see the image. That would be lovely. So I'm just going to read the poem that I wrote on that image. Obituary for a kingfisher. Little gem of a bird, ice blue, in a nest of sticks and stones. Like asleep in your cradle you lie, a turkey tail wrapped for a pillow and green leaves to your crown. How your feathers shine and shimmer, royal as you are, tiny bird of ice. But among your blue specks and your red, your plumage seems so ruffled and wet. Did you lose the steering of your boat? What happened to you, sweet little bird, that here as if asleep you lie, ornithological oddity at my garden door? Did the sunlight blind your eye? Closed now, neck turned, why did you die? Was it the reflections in the river reacting with your royal electric blue that gave you pain or glazed your view and led you to confuse the rippled mirror of the water with my back door pane? Or was it lack of food and fish with rivers polluted and shaved banks and shores in concrete and hunger and the cries of chicks that drove you to my garden door? Maybe did my little pond provide the goldfish that you needed? Or was it plastic in your guts that drove, small royal bird, your blind flight home? Dear bird of ice, why did you die? Sweet kingfisher, I'll never know what made you come, what made you go, but that your soul will rise, I know. And for your sleep, I've built a nest, royal as you are, little bird, ice blue. A cradle of sticks and stones, a turkey tail wrapped for a pillow, and green leaves to your crown, for your small sleepy body a nest. So rest now, sweet kingfisher, rest.
Beautiful.
Thanks very much.
Catherine Mulcahy for the beautiful visual addition there as well.
Thanks.
We'll all have a look at that. Photo sometime, no doubt you can share it on Facebook or something. Gurmila Mahagut.
Yeah, I just found the image there and it's just put it on the chat. So I hope everyone can see it.
Nice. Well, thanks very much, Phil. Thanks for providing that image. It was beautiful to write about.
Thank you, Blue. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
One name left in the open mic, but I was going to ask Aidan O, because you were late coming in. If Aidan, if you'd like to share a poem on the open mic, just throw your name into the chat room, please. And that would be nice. Okay, so last but not least, for now anyway, is Stan Knott.
Hello.
Hello.
Just very quickly, Rosie, what a fantastic job doing the Scottish accent. I barely understood a word you said. That's the ultimate compliment on a Scottish accent, I think. And I see Rab ranting in the chat about Father Proust and people not knowing who he is. So I'm going to read a Father Proust poem about the bells of Shandon. With deep affection and recollection, I oft-times think of those Shandon bells, whose sound so wild would in the days of childhood fling round my cradle their magic spells. On this I ponder whene'er I wander, and thus grow fonder, sweet Cork of Lee. Why they bells of Shandon that sound so grand on the pleasant waters of the River Lee. I've heard bells chiming, fully many a chime in, tolling sublime in cathedral shine, while at a glib rate brass tongues would vibrate, but all their music spoke naught like thine. For memory dwelling on each proud swelling of the belfry knelling its bold notes free, made the bells of Shandon sound far more grand on the pleasant waters of the River Lee. I've heard bells tolling old Adrian's mole in their thunder rolling from the Vatican, and cymbals glorious swinging uproarious in the gorgeous turrets of Notre Dame. But thy sounds were sweeter than the dome of Peter flings o'er the Tiber, pealingly solemnly. Oh, the bells of Shandon sound far more grand on the pleasant waters of the River Lee. There's a bell in Moscow, while on tower and kiosk, oh, in Saint Sophia the Turkman gets, and loud in air calls men to prayer from the tapering summit of tall minarets. Such empty phantom, I freely grant them, but there is an anthem more dear to me. Tis the bells of Shandon that sound so grand on the pleasant waters of the River Lee.
Beautiful, Stan. Gurmila Mahagut. I'm sure our Obeil friends who are far and wide would appreciate hearing that as well. Gurmila Mahagut.